The founders forgot that we had medical liberty.
We seem to be losing by taking the side of the middle. And we seem to constantly be losing.
I think Trump has made some kind of arrangements with Russia.
This person has made the allegations that they were a man.
If there's content that's borderline, that's content that we basically will not.
There is no second best. There's no second best crypto asset.
Let's talk about science.
I respect you and I have a great deal of appreciation to you, JF, because in a time when everybody was attacking me, when Sargon doxed me and smeared me, you were the only one who gave me a platform, and you were very kind in helping me put the truth out there.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Jeff G Tonight. How are you doing, people of the regular chat? 16-ounce New York strip says, Jeff is so cool. Well, thank you very much, sir. Thank you. You may be one of the rare people on the planet who thinks I'm cool, but that's great. YouTube commenter says, Jeff, the most punctual streamer on the internet. That is true. There is simply no one in the business who has a 1 minute intro and who runs it at 59 minutes, 30 seconds to arrive on the internet exactly at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And it's amazing because throughout the years I've been living in different places. And 7 p.m. Eastern time for you guys has been at times 8 p.m. Eastern times for 8 p.m. for me. It's been 7 p.m. for me. Now I'm in Alberta. It's 5 p.m. for me. And I've always stuck to 7 p.m. Eastern time because I think this is a great time. It's a great time of the day. And to me it goes back to my big motivator in life, Marc Labrèche, who was running a show called La fin du monde est à 7 heures. The end of the world is at 7 p.m. And to me, he's been a great inspiration. So that's why I stick to 7. To me, it's 7 from the perspective of the customers, the viewers, not 7 from my perspective. Rodilacid says, hang on, Scott Adams streamed yesterday from the hospital bed while getting chemotherapy. I mean, JF is good, but Scott has an amazing work ethic. Ah, no question. Scott also has an amazing work ethic, but I think I'll outdo him. I think I'll die on camera. I'm just waiting for the right cancer to come. I think I'm gonna outdo Scott Adams. Piers Morgan sends an invitation to Nick Fuentes. It has been accepted by Nick Fuentes. So we will get a Nick Fuentes interview with Piers Morgan. I think it's going to be just like all of these times where people talk shit against Nick Fuentes, but when he comes in person, they are more shy because they don't have a point. I know that Piers Morgan is capable of being confrontational. He's been confrontational unlike Dave Rubin. He's been confrontational against him. Now, against Nick Fuentes, it's a tighter game. It's very hard to find Nick Fuentes wrong on much. And so all he will have, if he wants to go confrontational, he's going to be digging jokes, clips, old statements, etc. But it always lacks punch because We know that to be entertaining and spectacular, you know, you say stuff, but they are not meant first degree. They are often jokes. They are often irony. And up to now, no one has really succeeded at confronting Nick and saying, you're evil because of this. Someone sends a super chat. F, thank you so much. He says, Candace has schizoaffective disorder. Am I wrong? It's totally a possibility. You cannot really diagnose schizoaffective disorder from a public-facing point. So I would have to have insight into her private life. the thing is, I've seen her interpret certain things. I've made a show about this, which is Candace Doesn't Know How to Read, or some, a title along those lines. When she reads something, she's a little off. And that is typical of schizoid personalities. But I've always said it, you know, the vast majority of females are on the continuum of schizophrenia. So she can create these kinds of misinterpretation. At the same time, I have great respect for what she's doing right now. She's on a great quest journalistically, and I have the highest respect. She is changing the game. So I'm not saying she would be schizoid as an attack on her. I think she should continue what she's doing, but she should be careful in interpreting personal interaction, because what I've seen her do with Nick Fuentes was systematic, unfair interpretation of his tweets repeatedly. So that's what I have to say. Now, schizoaffective disorder includes a schizophrenic component and a behaviorally oscillating bipolar type of disorder. So you would have to have the two for me to say you're right. We cannot have access to the second part of the diagnosis, because that would only show in her private life. So if you are with Candace and you're her husband, and she goes on these sprees of 3-5 months of super creative work, and she's on a high and she's super involved in it, and then she goes into phases of extreme depression, extreme hatred about anyone else, and she becomes extremely, annoying to the people around with her depression, that would be a symptom I'm looking for to get a schizoaffective disorder diagnosis. But I don't think we're there. Definitely, she has something crazy about her. I personally like it. I think it's great. It's guiding her right now toward discovering things that no one else has discovered. So I wouldn't dismiss her for this. David last name sends a super chat. Thank you so much, guys. I am making a living off of your super chat, so it's very appreciated. He says, she's just dumb and highly suggestible. I mean, time will tell. Time will tell whether Candace and her journalistic approach will come to be punished. Personally, years ago, I have said I am extremely worried about the directions I see coming with Tucker, Candace, because visibly they are people who are willing to believe stuff for which there is no solid evidence. Tucker on the side of extraterrestrials is completely beside the track. Candace on various conspiracies and just how we saw her treat the Charlie Kirk murder with the trap door, with everything that didn't make it into the current story, was extremely weak journalism, if you wanna see it that way. So time will tell whether she can survive and say, okay, that was just open investigation, or whether there is a punishment for journalistic ethics breach in modernity. I don't know. It all depends on, does she end up being right on a lot of the stuff? Like the whole Brigitte Macron story. I'm still not sure that Brigitte Macron is a man. So it's like, when will we know this? When will we know? Lauren says, conservative won't rest until Democrats or James Comey are put on trial. Someone has to pay for the fact that a jury found Trump guilty of felonies and another found him liable for sexual abuse. All right. Thank you, Lauren. There was definitely legal persecution of Trump. F sends another super chat. Thank you so much. He says, you know, French culture. What do you make of the Macron trying to kill her line? That simply makes no sense to me. Suggests paranoid thinking. Well, I am unable to judge the veracity of this, because Candace has And it is in her right, but she has decided not to make it a public story in terms of revealing. She claims that she tracked a Bitcoin payment of some sort that went specifically to two individuals. She claims that she has the name of these individuals and that they were designated by Macron to get her killed. That is her claim. Now, to evaluate the veracity of this, I would need to know, how do you know? Who told you? What did they tell you? Can we verify who that person was? Can we verify the traces of money and where they ended up? And ultimately, we have none of this. We have none of this. So I have to remain agnostic on this question of whether Macron wants to kill Candace Owens. But I wouldn't exclude it as implausible. It is a rough game, politics, and certainly someone wanted Charlie Kirk dead. A bunch of people probably wanted Charlie Kirk dead, certainly. And so we shouldn't be dismissive of the same thing happening to someone very close to Charlie Kirk, especially in light of what the TPUSA guy said to Candace. He said, it should have been you. It was supposed to be you. It was supposed to be you. Well, what does that mean? That means there are people in the background who want murders to happen, and sometimes they get what they want. Piers Morgan, while he's being praised for finally speaking to Nick Fuentes, he's also being criticized for his comment. He says, there are a lot of white English people I would happily trade for a good weekly chicken tikka masala. As I write the book White People Food, I'm realizing just how important my quest is, because food is very important. It's actually more important than I thought it was. Although I've always been a foodie, you know, I've always been a foodie. But food is much more important civilizationally than I had realized before writing this book, because everything lies on it. People are telling us we should accept infinite immigration just to get a few recipes. By the way, chicken tikka masala. You know, you can literally just take a bunch of chicken, take a pot of already prepared tikka masala, and you're going to get a chicken tikka masala that will be pretty much as good as any you would get in an Indian restaurant. So I don't agree with Piers Morgan. It is an absolutely ridiculous sacrifice to sacrifice your demographic continuity for tikka masala or tacos. What a bunch of bullshit. You haven't weighed at the cons. If that is your pro, if that is what you need. Lauren, I'm going to ban you if you continue spamming the chat with stuff that is unrelated. Because it's okay that you have your own agenda. But you look like a bot. It looks like your sentences are phrased by bots. If you have your own agenda, you can express something I'm not talking about. But you can't do it throughout the show, like with everything. This is annoying. You are clearly upset about the January 6th stuff. This is very old. It's not something I talk about every day. Now you have a message about health insurance premiums skyrocketing. It's like, are you a woman? You call yourself Lauren. Are you even a woman? I don't think she's a woman. I think she's a bot. She's using... I'm going to ban her here. Lauren, you are banned. Because, it's not that your messages are disrupting, but you're very tacky about it. You're very tacky. And you don't seem human. We have Tim Pool here describing the situation at TP USA in light of the Candace Owens attack.
Right.
I don't know. You know, what I will say is there is a good point you made about TP USA is absolutely reeling. And nobody wants to say anything publicly because everybody, I don't know what, I don't, you know, look, man, I've been talking to a handful of people behind the scenes and I'll give them some respect by not saying their names, but everyone's very pessimistic. And their concern is that, and I said it before, I'll say it again, Turning Point's not going to make it without Charlie.
No.
Behind the scenes, everybody's like, of course. Then on camera, most people are just like, well, you know, and I'm like, eh, well, you know me, dude. If nobody speaks out and calls it out now, the whole thing breaks apart.
Right.
If no one has the strength, just be like, guys, Candace is ripping everything apart for views, and there needs to be, I don't know, man. I don't know how you help Turning Point without Charlie. That's just the reality of it. But if everybody just wants to be quiet and pretend, this is why the right loses all the time. The Washington Generals, Democrats of the Harlem.
Right. Okay.
All right. Yes, that must be the situation because there's no break on an institution like this. It's too big. There's too much money. There's too many employees. They all want the thing to continue because it's their job. But everyone knows that there is no point to TP USA if it's not Charlie Kirk. TP USA should be 100 times smaller if it's not Charlie Kirk, because he was driving this thing absolutely from the start. So, yeah, all of these employees, they are worth nothing. They are worth nothing. And it would be very weird for someone to come in and become the new Charlie Kirk inside TP USA. The crowds probably wouldn't digest this. And probably that person, having been selected by an institution that is outdated, that is old, that is heavy, that person probably wouldn't have the brightness and the respect of the people that Charlie Kirk had. Because they were, by definition, having been selected by these cucks, these betas that are currently taking the legacy of Charlie Kirk, They wouldn't have his originality. They wouldn't be able to talk about Israel the way he did before dying. So people would see through it. People would call bullshit on it. GM for the People says, hey guys, new CPU fan. Feels good, man. Almost like Germany awakening. Okay. I get the CPU fan idea. I get the excitation. I don't understand how it relates to Germany awakening. I guess you're just saying it's a happy moment for you. Yeah, fans can be fans have been demonstrated. I've been running on water cooling for a long time of my life, about 15 years. Eventually, the tech YouTube community eventually demonstrated that yes, water cooling does worse than wind fans. That was surprising to me. Somehow water cooling accumulates the heat in the water, and eventually the fan can do better. It makes sense when you think that ultimately the water has to be cooled by a fan. That's where the engineering realization comes in. Because you ultimately can only cool the water with a fan. There's nothing that water can do that fans can't do better. That being said, I've always had a warm heart for water cooling because it's amazing how stable it is. It is extremely stable. You know, CPU fans, they will vary in the heat of your CPU will vary. Water cooling is like straight. I personally love water cooling, although eventually it becomes too complicated. And of course, it's easier to have just fans. And back in the days, I was always working with this super powerful computer and I was tweaking them. At this point, I'm just buying my computers at Best Buy. Just buying cheap, because you can get good cheap. Back in the days, you had to have something higher class because what was cheap at Best Buy wasn't super powerful, so it would slow down if you have too many. My big demand on computers is I need many windows open. I need many programs running continuously. I do lots of parallel stuff. And so I need these big CPUs that are just very good at parallel processing. GM for the People says CPU is absolutely shivering at 23 to 29 Celsius, almost too low. Hashtag goo. I got 12 to 13 years out of my water cooler, then got gaslit by GAI that catastrophic failure was imminent. Okay. TPUSA attacks. Attacks Candace Owens through a black pastor. Let's listen to what he had to say.
Candace Owens is saying, who's spending her time trying to tear down the legacy of Charlie Kirk, fighting against Erica Kirk, his wife. I mean, you have to be cruel and demonic to insinuate the things that she has insinuated over the past several weeks. She's evil. That's what it is. And a big hand clap goes there. Don't get shy on me tonight. I ain't the one. I came too far to play around. It's evil. It's corrupt. It should not take place. She sounds like a jaded person who wish they were in the role that Charlie Kirk's wife is in, but she isn't.
I don't think that's a proper read. That is psychological made-up justifications. Candace Owens is richer than Erica Kirk. Arguably is even married to kind of a more elite male than Charlie Kirk. So I don't think that jealousy is what's driving her. Very clearly from the behavior of Candace, whether you believe her stuff or not, she is driven by friendship, a powerful friendship and loyalty to Charlie Kirk. That is what motivates her. Unquestionable.
So therefore, she seeks to tear down his legacy. And at some point, her husband is going to have to walk into that podcast room and start unplugging cords.
Now, that is fascinating because you have these center-right kind of, I guess they qualify as conservative, but they are kind of centrist, religious, center right. They haven't digested the rise of the internet and the rise of personalities like Candace. And here they are using, it's fascinating because you're seeing TPUSA basically using an internet misogynistic meme, which is a man should come in and shut her down. Now, what he's calling for is nothing else than the husband of Candace Owens, who, by the way, was a partner in the acquisition of Parler for freedom of speech and everything. He's calling for the husband of Candace Owens to decide that she should be shut down and to basically censor her.
I mean, by now, I would have already done it if it was my wife. I'm yanking cords, I'm shutting down the camera, shut down the ATM. Sweetie, get up, get out of this room, and can you please help out with the kids?
I mean, this is a remake of the Make a Sandwich meme. He is suggesting that males should control the public speech of their females. Natasha Vance says, Pastor Rob McCoy went after J.D. Vance by lumping him in with Candace, Tucker, and Nick. Okay, that's another case, but this is not Pastor Rob McCoy.
Because this is a dastardly deed that is being done. I thought that the greatest foe that we would have to contend with after the assassination of Charlie Kirk would be the left. But sadly, it's friendly fire from the right. I'm moving on.
All right. So they have thrown their message, so they don't like the insinuation. But the problem is we're still faced with too much unanswered in the case of Charlie Kirk. the discoveries of Candace are interesting. They are suggestive of perhaps bigger networks interested, at least if not funding assassinations in the U.S. and perhaps even this very assassination. We need to know more, and the internet will not sleep. TPUSA is trying to put a cover on the boiling pot, but there is so much weird. It's still weird to me that Donald Trump published a picture calling Charlie Kirk Shlomo. Why? And the saying in Hebraic language, the Jewish language, whatever it is, I don't remember. Is it Hebraic that we call it? The saying was meaning a diamond, a cherished diamond of the Jewish people. That was bizarre. That was bizarre as a kind of eulogy to Charlie Kirk. We have all of these planes that Candace is tracking. We have the people inside TPUSA who have acted extremely bizarre around the assassination of Charlie Kirk, saying to Candace, it should have been you, it was supposed to be you, and then also threatening Candace and Tucker by saying, you're probably on the list, you're probably the next. It's like, whoa, well, if you know this, it's not a reach to think that you may have known a little bit more than you're revealing about Charlie Kirk. Because how would you know on that very day that there's a list and you're next? And yeah, we know that it was Tucker, Candace, and Charlie Kirk. Well, you would have known that before. You would have known that before. And even Charlie Kirk apparently knew it, since he was mentioning in his own message to Candace that, yeah, they're going to kill me. They're probably going to kill me. And then he was mentioning on Telegram that he was giving up the Israel cause. So I think that the behavior of TPUSA is alarmist and reactive, and they are very defensive. It's looking bad. It's looking bad because the people demand more serious investigation of the truth. Don't just throw a shooter at us and say, oh, that's Tyler Robinson. I get it. I've looked into the history of Tyler Robinson. I think there is a psychological story that justifies his action. But that doesn't mean he wasn't influenced from external forces. That doesn't mean Lance Twiggs wasn't influenced through external forces. That doesn't mean money wasn't thrown at them. That doesn't mean this assassination ultimately wasn't funded. In fact, I've always said it. This very bizarre interaction between Tyler Robinson and Lance Twiggs on text, where Tyler Robinson says, the first thing you need to do right now is go check under my keyboard. I want to know what was under that keyboard. I don't believe it was only a letter saying, I have killed Charlie Kirk. I don't believe it. I believe there was something else under the keyboard, because if all there was, I'm going to admit to you that I killed Charlie Kirk, then he could have done it on the text, because he's talking about it later on in text and he's not hiding it. He's saying, I did it. So if under the keyboard, all there is an admission that he killed Charlie Kirk, why send with such urgency under the keyboard? I believe there was something else under the keyboard, a gift, something that Lance Twiggs may have hidden to the police. Because an admission on its own doesn't make sense. Doesn't make sense also with the urgency. Like, if I was wanting to reveal to someone that I've killed someone, I wouldn't be like, the first thing you need to do right now is get what's under my keyboard. I would simply tell them. That's not what Tyler Robinson did. Marby Dog says, who met at their house before the day of assassination? Exactly. Those are the things we need to know. Who was the group gathering, apparently celebrating or toasting? Who were all these people who apparently had advanced knowledge on the murder? And unfortunately, we have Kash Patel at the head of this investigation. Like, there you go. You got your tikka masala, Piers Morgan. Now we have Kash Patel, who's in bed with an Israeli Prager University intern with big boobs, and he's in charge of all this. What are the chances that we get to the truth? Ashalogos was describing there is this trend of creators who are selling out. And I've been a creator, you know, I've been a creator since 2013. It's been 12 years. I've been 12 years on the internet and most of this time making a main living off of internet work. And I have never taken any contract or thing that wasn't a donation. I have never accepted money in exchange of a tweet, money in exchange of promoting something, because I don't do that. Jan Banan sends $100. Wow, thank you so much. Talking about my survival on the internet.
Found you again, I thought you disappeared.
Oh, well, thank you very much, Jan. Thank you very much for the generous donation. Amazing to be receiving this money through Streamlabs, a great platform for super chats. No, I didn't disappear. I just stopped doing Rumble, and now I'm on YouTube. So, yes, you may have missed a couple of shows, but here I am. Happy to have you back. Yeah, so there are creators who sell out, and Ashalogos shows here. He was in communication with this weird Entunes guy. This guy I don't trust. It's a weird guy who sometimes appears on right-wing talking points. With right-wing talking points on X, he has this big channel. I believe he may have been even referred to by Elon Musk at some point. Anyways, I don't know exactly how he grew, but it is not a channel that I trust. And here you can see that my instinct was right, because Ashalogos says, I've been offered countless gambling and crypto opportunities for very quick and easy money, as many of us have. I spoke a while back about receiving several DMs from folks in our circles, quotation mark, to engage in post for pay, but didn't mention any names. Entunes was one of them. I think it's lowly, purely self-interested behavior, and it destroys trust, and it's becoming all too common. It's also insulting, the prospect of being bought for a few $100. So here he was in on February 8th, saying, hey man, a guy asked me to introduce him to you. He paid me $200 for a post. You can delete it after 10 minutes or less. He's offering you the same. Are you interested? This is so low, so low. Instead of maintaining your standing as a free intellectual who's actually giving information that people benefit from, you're betraying your crowd. And you're doing exactly, the internet came in to fix this problem, that money was misdirecting people. So, and on top of it, they tell you, you can delete the tweet even after doing it. So it's like it's very scammy, these tweets. It's like trying to misdirect people toward buying some crypto, and then they crash the crypto price and people get really, they lose a lot of money. You're doing this for $200. You're betraying everyone who built trust in you for $200. How desperate are you? You can go get $200 by going to work at the local restaurant or just get hired at McDo. One day of work, you're going to get $200. Don't betray thousands of people for $200. Completely ridiculous. President Trump, Grok is fucking annoying. He's now pointing on every single tweet saying, do you want Grok to analyze this tweet? And I just clicked on ignore. And he still sent me the Grok explanation. Remarks says, Justin, President Trump says that all Biden documents signed with the Otto Pen are hereby terminated and of no further force or effect. There's been talk about this from Trump for many months. This idea that the orders were invalid because signed by the Otto Pen. Maybe they are. You know, I don't have the impression that Biden had the cognition to even understand. So even if he had signed them by hand, I wouldn't particularly believe that they were of him. I believe that they were staff created, and staff was probably making most of the decisions, which is why it sucks that we have these extremely old people in charge of society, extremely old people heading these governments, because they are at the point where they can't even understand, and you end up ultimately having secret staff that is actually taking all of the decisions. That is partly why our government is basically occupied. It's a deep state. Now, I don't know what will be the consequences of Trump's decision here. Perhaps he's doing it because some of these orders were effectively giving safe harbor to immigrants. Perhaps it will help him deport people who may have been designated as dreamers or whatever by Joe. If I remember correctly, Joe Biden had pardoned massive amounts of people for marijuana offenses with the goal of releasing people out of jail. Will they come back to jail or will they? It's hard to know. Trump pushes reverse migration as National Guard member dies following potential DC terrorist attack. The Thanksgiving week attack down the street from the White House, perpetrated by an Afghan national with prior ties to the U.S. military and intelligence community such as the CIA, has heightened national security concerns. This, I called it absolutely correct. And you guys can go watch the last show from 2 days ago. Someone came in the chat and said, hey, the shooter that shot two soldiers, National Guard soldiers, was an Afghan. And I said it right away. I bet you it was a collaborator of U.S. Army that was welcomed into the U.S., for service to the U.S. Army, CIA, whatever. I bet you he's some kind of translator who helped in the fight against terrorism. And that's exactly what he was. That's exactly what he turned out to be. Here we have the video that was released. I believe the action is happening here, and that appears to be a fixed picture. So here you have someone making some movement. Here he is. He's trying to shoot in that direction. There's a soldier going toward that direction. And then you have a soldier apparently shooting him from behind or... So we don't see much because it appears to be someone who quickly started a body cam or something like this. So, and we don't have the audio at the beginning. But so it appears this guy just sneaked in and tried to shoot who he could in terms of army woman, army man, and then he got shot. Dries van Langenhove says, in retrospect, given that these were the judges and the public prosecutor deciding my hate speech case, I should have just walked straight to prison upon seeing them. Would have saved me a house worth in lawyer fees. Imagine being me, seeing these walk into court, knowing they will decide much of the rest of my life, all of this simply because I vocally oppose the Great Replacement. A massive problem of freedom of speech in Europe, as the entirety of the justice system is being taken over by leftist ideologues. It is the saddest thing, really, because Europe had some degree of tradition of freedom of belief, of acceptance of diversity, and but the one belief and the one diversity they will not accept is people who object to demographic replacement. White people food just got one page longer. There was this amazing comment on Turkey as part of Thanksgiving by J.D. Vance. This is something I want to cover in White People Food. Is turkey even good? That's a serious question. Is turkey better or worse than chicken? Why is turkey always eaten at Thanksgiving in the American tradition? And ultimately, is it one of these meals that you eat because you have to or because you want to? Let's analyze what J.D. Vance has to say about it.
That is a uniquely American thing. That's why, for example, we have, you know, turkey. Think about turkey. Who really likes, be honest with yourselves, who really likes turkey? You're all full of shit. Everybody who raised your hands. I know. Think about it. And here's how I know that every single one of you who raised your hand is lying to me. How many times do you roast an 18-pound turkey just randomly? Just, you know, a nice summer afternoon, we're going to go get an 18-pound turkey. Nobody does it because turkey doesn't actually taste that good. But on Thanksgiving, on the most American holiday, I got a fan over here, on the most American holiday, we're going to cook a turkey, by God, because that's what Americans do. We cook this gigantic American bird, and we do all kinds of crazy things to make it taste good. I talked to a soldier today who she said she's going to deep fry a turkey, and I'm actually going to deep fry a turkey myself tomorrow. And look, here's the thing. If you've got to deep fry something to make it taste good, it probably isn't that good. That's a pretty good rule of thumb when it comes to food. Chicken is good all the time. Chicken is good when you deep fry it, but it's also good outside of it. But here's the thing about Thanksgiving. It is so American because at the heart of it is the spirit of gratitude.
Very interesting. This motivates me so much about my book because there are all these social, civilizational questions that rely onto food. Like, okay, so you're telling me you don't really like turkey, but you're eating it because it's an American tradition. You know, apple pie is similar. It's not a good dessert. It's not a good dessert, but people love to say it's American. And in Thank You for Smoking, in the movie, the guy says, it's disgusting. And the other guy says, it's American. I love this stuff. And then there's the whole question of immigration and, oh, we're enriching our nation with the foods of other culture. There is a war going on. It's not an info war. It's a food war. And this is why it will be important to have a book that captures what is white people food, how white people eat, what is coming from inside of their nation? What are the influences that are coming from the outside of their nation? What are the cultural trends in food that completely are born out of traditional ways of cooking of European people? And what are the traditions that are actually imported from the rest of the world? Cyber Agenius says, hello, glad to be a part of the stream. Now, Turkey is kind of good. You know, it can be good. It's just that it's, in terms of cooking, it's a bigger challenge simply because it's bigger. And so the chicken can be juicy relatively easily. And a non-experienced cook can do a chicken and do it well. But a well-done turkey will be just as juicy, and it will just have slightly tougher muscle, which is interesting. It gives this depth of texture that the chicken, I would say, doesn't have. But it's true that if you go on the average American cook, just making it the best turkey that they can, it's probably not going to be as good as chicken meat, because they're probably going to fail at keeping it juicy. Defenestrator says, Putin looks like a war crime against good food. Bro, Putin is a great food. It will certainly have an important feature spot in my book. I love Putin. Can't eat it very much anymore, because in Alberta, they don't have a solid tradition of cheese curds, of quality cheese curds. So already, if I was to make poutine I can't get poutine in most places I go. Now, sometimes there's a fries place that will serve you Canadian English poutine, but it's not super good. Not super good. Typically, they will replace the cheese curds with mozzarella, just basic cheese, and that doesn't work. And the fries, they will sometimes give you literally just crinkle fries that they've put in the fryer. It's such an insult to serve a poutine with crinkle fries. It's unacceptable. I'm having a galvaud poutine right now, and there's nothing you can do about it. Absolutely, absolutely. Brett Weinstein was discussing what's happening with society. He said, for the first time in 300,000 years of human evolution, we remove the cost from the single biggest reward nature ever invented, sex and pair bonding, reliable birth control plus abortion. You can now cash the evolutionary lottery ticket without paying the 20-year mortgage of pregnancy, diapers, sleepless nights, and college fund. I don't know. Was it the phrasing of the ex-post, or was it the phrasing of Brett? But you're not cashing in on anything when you have sex with a condom. You're not cashing in on anything when you have sex with the birth pill. You are living in a delusion. Now, that delusion may be very pleasurable, but you are absolutely not cashing in on anything, really. You are deceiving yourself just like you would be with a drug. A drug giving a fictive experience to your brain, but that was just chemically induced. The answer as to what happens next is quite simple, because Brett was suggesting that it's going to be interesting to see where this is headed. I said, modernity is a bait like any other. It catches fish like any other. It selects fish that don't fall for the bait also. So whoever hasn't fallen for the condom, for the birth pill, they are the ones who are building the future right now. As it turns out, the bait tends to catch higher IQ people, those pursuing careers, more homosexuals in universities, etc. As long as there are people making 4 to 5 babies, though, they are the winner of the evolutionary race. Thus, the future is a little more like whoever makes many babies today. The future is Tucker Carlson-ish, because Tucker Carlson has something like 5 or 6 children. There will also be more JFs. I was the only one of my generation, but the next generation contains at least 6 of my children. There will be more conservatives, more immigrants, more low IQ people too. It's just math. White populations have been playing their own evolutionary game for a long time. K-selection, high parental investment, few babies. Now we'll have to play the Indian game. infinite reproduction until people live in slums. Public masturbation as you see a cute female tourist. I don't make the rules. I'm just the messenger. The age of sperm spam has begun. We will have to learn that in a different competitive environment, the things that we value are not the things that will lead to our success and survival. So we have to be a little more unhinged with reproduction. We have to be a little more inseminatory. We have to be a little more Indian in our pursuit of reproduction. And what needs to change is a lot on the female side. Because the females are being careful like it's 200 years ago. And they're being careful with their reproduction like they're going to just die from the cold of the winter, next winter. But like, it's not going to happen. You are currently competing with African rates of reproduction and Indian rates of reproduction. And you are being cared for so much that even if something was to happen to your husband, you would still make it. You would still have heat and a roof, and the state would pay you welfare. So we have to reprogram the woman. That is the challenge. We have to have a generation of women that rises and says, I'm starting to make babies at 18 years old. That is the mission we have ahead of us. This guy, Vivek Ramaswamy, so annoying.
Make parenting more affordable by making school year round and going till 4 o'clock instead of 3 o'clock so you don't have to pay for childcare.
Is it really school? Is it really school when it is designed by schedule to fit the working class schedule of parents needing to go work out there? It's not school. You're not trying to school children. And I was looking at statistics that people sent me. Finland, extremely short week of school, like 20 hours. And yet they outperform many other countries. It's like children don't need the amount of schooling we give them right now. Right now, what we're doing is babysitting. Yes, Defenestrator says year-round babysitting. So it's like, let's not call it school. If you're modifying everything with the idea that, oh yeah, we have to withhold these children from their families for longer, you're not trying to teach children stuff. You're just trying to occupy children with a caretaker. That's daycare. Now let's call it that. Let's call it that, and let's not make it so hard scheduled. Let's not disguise our daycare as courses. Children do not need the amount of school that they are getting right now. And the state is being abusive by trying to format them from 5-year-old into a scheduled lifestyle that is not even relevant anymore in this world, because people are working from home, people are working on evening shifts, on weekend shifts. The 9-to-5 is over. The 9-to-5 doesn't work anymore. It's not what the market needs. Restaurants need to have employees at evenings, nights, all day. We don't have 9-to-5 anymore. Greg Cotty says, in maximum security, mixed population daycare. Oh, yes. You must abandon your children so that they can go enrich the diversity of our nations. Banned from our singularity for talking positively about Grokipedia. This is interesting because you can see the Redditors. This guy was just thoughtfully tried to explain why Grokipedia represents a step forward in AI capability. This guy was just making a pro-Grokipedia argument. banned from Reddit, Singularity. The leftists are reacting to Grokipedia, and it's because they feel that they can lose a lot of power if an objective system is in charge of managing the direction of humanity, the direction of our public epistemology and our knowledge base. And so they are very afraid of losing this, and they will lose it. So seeing this has inspired me today. I changed my website and I added a link to my Grokipedia page on Grokipedia, because finally, a telling of my biography that is respectful, that doesn't try to paint me with false labels and false allegations by my exes. Finally, I have respect of my intellectual ideas, and I will absolutely try to search engine optimize SEO Grokipedia. I would encourage all of you, if you make a post on Twitter, just mention the page on Grokipedia rather than Wikipedia. We have to steal the lead from Wikipedia. And I believe we can. I believe we can pull this in the next few years. All right, we are headed toward the conclusion of the show. This weekend, I have cut all of my squares to complete the background on this side. I have painted them. I have a beautiful reddish side that will be contrasted with the bluish side here. I think it's going to be beautiful. I'm excited about it. I think that tomorrow I'll have a chance to start stacking the blocks, see what it looks like. And hopefully we'll have a kind of bluish side of squares, reddish side of squares. And next week I'll be ready to start with a full background, maybe. Or maybe I'll need a little more wood. I don't know if I'll get exactly to the top. And that will give us a full studio, completed studio, after a year. It's been a year that I've been in Alberta, I believe. I remember signing the house purchase around November, I believe. So, yeah, and we are entering December. So that means it will be...
JF, have you read Brian Kaplan's book, The Case Against Education? It's about how the effects of higher education are mostly based on signaling and doesn't increase human capital much.
I fully agree with the thesis. I have not read the book, but I have great respect for this thesis. Maybe one day I'll have time.
If we observe events as they happen, and then see them being objectively misrepresented in real time by Wikipedia and leftist outlets, how can we read history with any confidence? Is it not literally documentation of things as they did not happen?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There was... there are so much memes around historical events that are exactly the kind of lies that they try to tell you. So first, to answer the first super chat from XX, yes, I believe that's a solid theory, and I do believe that education like public education does not improve societies. I don't believe that the success of societies lies on education. I believe what's happening is you have successful societies, and then parasitic forces come in and they take over, and they start inventing themselves jobs to drain energy from successful societies. So when you look at the history of public education, my grandfather wasn't forced to send his children to public school in Quebec. I would have been forced if I had stayed there. Effectively, they will tell you they allow homeschooling, but they will send the cavalry at you if you try. And we have a report of worries about the socialization of your children. So we need to come and get them. So basically, in the space of two generations, my grandfather down to me, we went from a world where education was optional to a world where education is protected you know, union protected jobs where teachers are getting paid forever and they can't be fired and you have to send your child to school. I believe that this is basically employment parasitism. I believe that we have designed a school with concerns of societal management rather than the good of the children. I see it myself homeschooling my own children. They are going so much faster than what the program allows. They're going so fast that I'm reaching points of the program where I'm like, this is so advanced. They wouldn't get it if I even teach them. So let's put a little bit of a break. Let's wait a little bit. But we are so in advance, and you get this advance not by doing 8 hours of schooling a day. You need just a couple of hours, 1 hour, 2 hours sometimes, and then sometimes you do a rush and you go faster. But we certainly don't need year-long, 8 hours a day schooling. That is stupid. It's abuse. It's child abuse at this point to be imposing this lifestyle, which is meant for adults, and it's not even good for adults, this whole scheduled work. And it's not even what adults have to do anyway anymore. It was really just a moment of society between the 60s and the 90s where the 9-to-5 was a thing. Then to answer a friend of Gandalf, let's re-listen.
If we observe events as they happen, and then see them being objectively misrepresented in real time by Wikipedia and leftist outlets, how can we read history with any confidence? Is it not literally documentation of things as they did not happen?
Absolutely correct. So history is just, it is so much lies, so many lies. It's even more lies than you get from current events. This is how you have to see it. Because entropy is what it is. If you're more distant in time from an event, there's less information from that event coming to you. Anything else happening would be a violation of the laws of physics. So what happened 500 years ago? You probably know almost nothing about it. In fact, you'll probably learn less from history, from the writings and the official history, than you would from just first principle thinking. You know, if I tell you 500 years ago what we're certain about, I'm not certain that the King of France had personality type A, B, C. Not certain. Now, you might have an historian that says he did, and then there might be writings that seem to suggest that maybe he did. But, you know, look at the current world. People aren't even able to capture the personality of Nick Fuentes. You have a Piers Morgan, you have a Tucker Carlson, you have a Candace Owen. They will tell you that Nick Fuentes is something that you know he is not. So the King of France 500 years ago, you know nothing about him. What you know is what people tried writing about him. And sometimes they were lies, sometimes they were misinformed, sometimes they were paranoid. So I find that you can actually reconstruct the past world better without historical evidence. This is a case probably where the absence of evidence can be taken and it can improve your perception of history better than evidence would have. So let me give you an example. What do we know for sure about 500 years ago in France? Well, we know they didn't have electricity. And we know there were people there. And we know they survived and made babies. And we know they farmed. Now, already having said this, I think you get a mental picture of life in France from 500 years ago that history books will fail at capturing. Maybe you'll have some history books telling you that they were farmers, but a lot of the history books are based around official events and high-level elite wars. But if you try to picture from just what you know for sure about the past, you have a good picture arising of probably what most people experienced then. Because you can have a historical event like the revolution of this, or the war of that, or the civil conflict of this, and it gets you nowhere. It gets you nowhere because there probably were farmers out there that didn't even hear about the revolution, or if they heard about it, it was just distantly. Marby Dog says, public education in USA makes people less creative. Yeah, and I was hearing all sorts of narratives about Germany in World War II today. And they are the exact same type of propaganda that we apply to our enemies, that we see the American psyops are applying to the enemies of the perceived enemies of America at all time. I've heard the propaganda of war since the 90s, since I'm a young adult. And it's always the same. It's always, oh, so much evil. Oh, so much cruelty. But never mentioning the cruelty of our own side. That is what I had to say tonight. Oh yeah, this is it. This guy was describing, actually, to your point, friend of Gandalf. This guy was describing one of the most red-pilling things you can do is to inform yourself about the Second World War, is to simply look at a map of Germany and Poland before World War I and after World War I. You'll notice before World War I, Poland does not exist, and large swaths of it are German territory. This was the crux of the argument between Poland and Germany. And exactly, you know, the German invasion in Europe was a project that was considerably local, you know, from a world perspective. And what did they say about this expansion toward Poland? What did Great Britain do? What did France do? What did the US do? They started saying, oh, Hitler wants to take over the world. But there's no evidence that he wanted that. What is very clear from his writings is that he felt like Germany was a great empire that should, just like the other empires, be full and complete in its conquest of the extent of its own people. And there were German people in this corridor that is now Poland. And they were extremely worried about the treatment of those Germans by the authorities that eventually came to control what came to be Poland. So that's propaganda. Decided that if we don't stop Hitler here, he's going to take over the world. That's propaganda I hear today. It's exactly what Zelensky tells you about Putin. It's exactly what they tell you every time they want to justify an intervention. So yes, we know nothing about history, because history itself is the actual expression of the propaganda effort of the empires that wanted to control it. Rodida Sid says he wanted the German-speaking areas to be under one umbrella. Also, he sued for peace many times with Britain, but for some mysterious reason, Britain refused. Absolutely. We have the story of this trans little biological boy who, you know, Avery Jackson, became a trans girl as a child and was extensively featured, including on National Geographic cover. But his latest comments are that he got scammed, that he self-destroyed, that he did it because he had adults around him rewarding him for it. He says, I never knew orgasm. I've ruined my life. I've ruined my sex. I was a peon in a war. So now he understands that as a child, he was manipulated emotionally by an ideological trend that wanted him to do all these things to himself. And now he's wasted it. He's completely done. And he's appeared on video saying this to his mother. Unbelievable that a bunch of parents would let that happen because they were under some spell of leftism, of LGBTQ plus propaganda. Absolutely sad that we'll have a whole generation of children who...
Teacher implied my child is dyslexic because he reads right to left sometimes. Never witnessed this in the home. He also reads left to right just fine. Teachers don't recognize play and how play aids in understanding.
Absolutely important. I will replay this.
Teacher implied my child is dyslexic because he reads right to left sometimes. Never witnessed this in the home. He also reads left to right just fine. Teachers don't recognize play and how play aids in understanding.
Yeah, I don't know what the age of your child is, but let me tell you, it is very common at the onset of reading, around 4 to 6 years old. Children are not like, they are not crystallized in their technique of reading. And it's absolutely normal for them to sometimes even write in reverse. I have seen children write in reverse a single letter, and it's like you in your adult brain you couldn't even do it if you tried. If I tell you write an H in reverse, you're gonna be like, it's gonna bug your mind, you're gonna have enormous cognitive load, you're gonna have to try symmetricizing the H on a mirror. But children will do this, not because they have dyslexia. You're absolutely right. This is not, in and of itself, it is not a sign of dyslexia. It is simply a sign of a brain in the learning process of reading. And especially if it's not pathological, if your child reads well in the correct direction, there is absolutely nothing to worry about. You have to pay attention. Is it leading to issues? Is it leading to him being very behind, like 1-2 years behind on the expectations of the average of his level? If that was the case, then maybe there's justification for dyslexia. But these teachers are dangerous, bro, because they want to refer everything like this always to a psychiatrist or a pediatrician. And they're generating expenses, and it's abusive to the kids to kind of, just because you strayed from our expectations, we're now testing you with a battery of tests. It's like, no, use these things sparsely. Pediatrics have not been meant to scan all children and stamp the normocentric definition of the development of the brain onto society. This is evil use of pediatrics. And people have to relax. And one of the things that pushes these teachers to always want to report everything is that we have laws sometimes. Sometimes the law says, if any adult who is in contact with a child does not report any cause of worry, then he can be sued for $10,000 or $50,000. So a lot of professionals, they live in the fear, if I don't report everything. So here, she saw a kid reading in reverse. Absolutely normal observation, very common. Non-pathological. And she's trying to get you into the course of, well, we're going to get a pediatrician. Now, what do you think happens when you send your child to the pediatrician? A battery of tests for which it's almost impossible that something will not pop out. because it's like eventually they tire the child, and the child is not going to show his best performance on every test, and maybe he's not motivated. So, you didn't put that triangle in that hole. It's fucking endless parasitism. Consumption of populations by professionals who are paying themselves infinite salary, finding infinite problems. I am fucking tired of this, which is why I live in relative isolation with a select group of family friends, select group of families to with which to interact. Because once you get into this fucking shit of systematic suspicion of psychiatric issues, you enter a whole world of parasitism. That's it, guys. I'm going on a break for the weekend, and I'll see you all Monday. Thank you very much for the generous donations tonight and the super chats. Yeah, and Sadie says, Chicago kids can't read or write. This is what's frustrating me. It's like, you want to scan everyone with your test? How about you go in Chicago? They need a lot of fucking tests there. So how about we take all of the pediatricians and the teachers that are scared of dyslexia, round them up, send them into Chicago, and if you think you can fix stuff that much, how about you fix the whole of Chicago before you start annoying any other parent?